when you songwrite, it's such a release.
It just comes out.
And you're like, oof.
Oh, that's done.
Yeah. And it's like, not necessarily. And like the things that can come from you just, you know, working with it, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that I like to, because like the songwriting process is something that I'm endlessly fascinated with, just because it's so different for everyone, right?
Yeah.
You touched a little bit about like how Gord Downie kind of viewed like a song being done. What is it for you then? Like, have you adopted that fully, or is there a different way for you where you tell yourself like this feels complete now? When is a song finished for you?
Yeah, when is a song finished for me? Maybe it's just that. Maybe it's similar. It's finished when you can't go any further because you've put it out. And there you go. You did it. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, these songs on this record, the ones that I did after COVID, my mixing engineer hated me. He loved me, and I get it. And it, like, sorry. But yeah, I remember we mixed the whole record and we were sending it to mastering. Oh, yeah, even further, we were filming the music video for one of the tracks. And I heard the track while we were like doing the music video and I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
This isn't done. This isn't done. Like this vocal take and like this mix and maybe this word. And so like went back into the studio, fixed everything I thought needed to be fixed, went back home. That was a lot of money. And then realized, it's fine. It was fine the way that it was. It was fine.
Oh, no.
So, like, when is the song done?
Right.
I don't know.
I'm so sorry I asked. Yeah.
It was a very stressful week for everybody.
Oh, that's funny. Now, you have a couple of videos out for four tracks off this record. What was that experience like? Like, is music? Do you just adopt music video making into the process now? Is that just something that you're like, okay, we're doing an album, and then it's the videos that are coming, or is that something that you've always kind of seen as part of the whole project?
Well, now I do. Now I do for sure. In the past, it was like, make an album. Don't tell anybody. And then work at a cafe.
A tried, tested, and true approach.
Yeah.
And that worked, right?
It worked for me, I guess. But this one, I guess the last record, it's funny. You guys know Jen Fritz. Mm-hmm. She's my mm-hmm. publicist. Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Thank you, Jen, for saying
yes, that. Right? She is the reason I had those first music videos for that record, because she was like, you know, after you release this, like, you need to have something to talk about. And, like, I was like, but do I?
Is the record not enough?
Right? Like, I'm tired from working this cafe shift. So then I did it, and then it kind of hit home. It was like, oh, there is a process to this. Yeah, you make the record, and then there's more.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's fun. It's just another part of the art, you know? Mm. It's a way to kind of spread your wings a little bit. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. And how involved are you with the videos? Like,
very involved. I'd like to be less involved.
Yeah.
That's the key. I'd like to not be in them. And then to just direct somebody else.
Yeah.
That would be great. But the first one, I was very involved. It was me and Aaron Nathanson, who's wonderful, and Samuel Chadwick. And I don't know why I said his full name like that. He's my husband. Like, I know him very well. And we did that whole video together. And it was like really big because none of us knew what we were really doing. And we had to, like, rent out a studio, and like we had to build a bedroom, like a whole bedroom with walls and like wallpaper.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was very involved.
Well, now you've got set deck experience.
I do.
You know, you can ditch the cafe job for a job in film.
Oh, hey, already on it. Yeah, that's cool though.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that there's bands in this scene, and like not like bands that maybe aren't even like at the stature that you're kind of heading towards, that like every song needs video. And I was like, that sounds exhausting.
Sounds exhausting.
There's so much work.
Oh yeah, you gotta have the visual album.
Oh, wow. Also, like, that's expensive.
Right.
Like, wow.
Yeah, if you thought recording music was expensive, right? Wait until you have to shoot a music video.
Oh, my God. Our first one, because we were novices, I'm not going to say, it was a lot.
A lot more than it should have been.
And I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Learning is good. We like learning me on too. The show.
Yeah, me too. Not the hard way. Not anymore.
You've learned the lesson. You get that. Now, you have friends.
Yeah. I have friends!
And some of them play music.
They do.
As well. Yeah. You've got some recos. What are we going to cue up first here?
Okay, so we're going to cue up Cassidy Waring. And her song is Nostalgia, because I love it. And she's great. And she's like one of my best friends. We live in the same apartment building, so our life is very much like friends.
Nice. Yeah. Were you friends before you moved into the apartment building, or did you meet each other as a result of
being
neighbors?
Yeah.
That's fun.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's an amazing, amazing musician, and yeah, this song is one of my favorites.
Cool. Here it is, Nostalgia by Cassidy Waring on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Stood in the bathroom.
CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. It was Nostalgia by Cassidy Waring. A friend of our guest in the studio today, Che Ami Dorval. I want to keep saying welcome every time. Welcome, welcome once again.
Thank you, sir.
We just heard, a friend of yours, Cassidy Waring, and we're talking about your new record. You've done other stuff, though, too.
I have.
Tell me, how did you and Devin Townsend cross paths?
How did we cross paths? Oh, so my guitarist a while back, Dave Young, who, do you guys know him?
No.
No, he's lovely. He was in Devin's band, and Devin was looking for a vocalist for his album Key, which I think it was part of like a trilogy of something. Anyways, it was me. And we met and we drove out to Dave's house in, where was it? I don't know, Abbotsford or something. And he set up a recording studio in his basement with like couch pillows. And we just like...
The best soundproofing.
The best. And we just got to know each other basically under this like couch pillow fort.
Hey, you know what? Instant intimacy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And we were like, we were very similar humans. And then we just kept in touch and turned into... we started a band together called Casualties of Cool.
Which, hell of a band name, by the way.
Thank you. At first I was like, wow, that's terrible. And then it grows on you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a sort of like a dark ambient country album. And I love him. He's like, actually, it's interesting. His wife was best friends with my uncle growing up.
Small world.
Yeah. Isn't that
wild.
So weird? And we didn't know until, like, years after working with each other.
Crazy.
Yeah, and they were best friends. They had, like, they traveled across Canada together, and Tracy had a snake, like a boa constrictor, and for some reason she decided she couldn't have it anymore, so she gave it to Pat, and I grew up with that snake.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's such a small weird
world. It's like a snake nephew.
Right? That's exactly what it was.
Exactly. Wow.
How did you know?
That's so, like, you seem to be able to thrive in both a collaborative environment as well as, like, just writing and recording on your own. Do you have a preference, or are there elements of each that you kind of like to have on their own? Like, you like those experiences on different levels?
Yeah. Well, at first I always thought that I was more of a solo, like, I don't collaborate, it's too scary, and it is, it can be. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I'm a control freak, and that it doesn't lend itself well to collaboration, generally, but you also don't get the magic, you know, that you can possibly get with someone else's input, because it leads you in these directions you never would have gone to, and that's super interesting, and it makes it more fun. It makes, like, writing more like a game, in a way,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Or like an activity that you're doing together.
And, like, a, you know, self-discovery. You're like, wow, I didn't know that, you know, I could exist in this area. So now I feel like I like collaborating more, but it's a very detached kind of collaboration. Like Devin was like this too. We were both each other's first collaborators, aside from his band, Strapping Young Lads. But yeah, it's a detached collaboration where, like, say somebody has like a guitar line and they send it over and you're like, ooh, and you like riff on that at your like own house without mm-hmm. anybody watching, because you can be the most free, and then you just like bounce it back and forth. Like, that's the kind of collaboration I love.
Mm-mm-mm.
The sitting in the same room, I used to be a very, very shy, like terrified child, and so speaking up was always like, ooh, to me. And sometimes that comes out in creative situations because I don't know why. So it's just better to not have that even be a possibility.
Right.
If the internet's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a really like modern way to make music.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that more and more artists are taking advantage of that, of being able to like do stuff on your own, but also collaboratively, and sort of like trade it back and forth.
And then you learn the album together, like as you play it, which is also really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's a whole other world then with that person beside you. And yeah.
Well, and there's like totally different experience with just like writing something. We'll say you go and use the guitar riff or whatever as an example, and you're just kind of like, if you're doing it on your own, you're like, is that good?
Yeah.
We'll find out. But like, there's nothing more validating than like the person you're working with being like,
ooh,
dude, that rules.
Love that.
It's so sick. And right. You're like, hell yeah, it is sick.
Yeah, well, check
I'm sick.
Out.
We're sick.
Totally. Yes, exactly.
I don't know if it was on air or off air, but Jamie mentioned that we were obsessed with your cover of The Widow by the Mars Volta. And you put out a bunch of covers both as singles and then on the Sad Songs for Quarantined Lovers EP thing that you put out. One thing, how often do you get to do a cover song where the original writer of the song plays bass on the cover?
Only the one time.
Right? It's a pretty cool thing, I think. But also, how do you, like, when you're picking a song to cover, are you just picking songs that you like, or is there something that, like, draws you to be like, oh, no, this is a song that I want to perform?
I think it's a bit of a mixture. The only song, actually, that I covered on Sad Songs, which was a song that I, like, desperately love, was Blue Factory Flame, because I love Songs Ohio and Magnolia Electric Company, and I love him. And that, it's funny, that was the one that I liked the least that I covered.
Yeah, that works.
It's funny how that works. I really did not do that justice in my eyes. But the other ones, like the Almost Again one, which was the Devin one, it was a weird perk. I was like, hey guys, like, help me pick a song to cover, and I don't know, there was some sort of monetary thing going on there, which is great.
I like, what song did I cover? Like, my song.
The one that gets me paid.
So somebody picked Almost Again. And yeah, you know what? I know the answer to this. I like picking songs I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then not, like, don't know them at all, because I didn't know Almost Again. And then listening to it, like, maybe twice, and then being like, I get it, I know this song, and then trying to recreate what you thought it was,
mm-hmm.
which is never really what it was, and then I find you, like, you have this, like, beautiful thing that actually is a bit different. It kind of sets itself apart a bit.
There's some originality in it.
Yeah, I like mm-hmm. doing that. That's fun. Yeah.
And the best covers are always that, where it's, like, a re-envisioning of that original piece. Like, and nobody remembers a true-to-form cover, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless it's Real Big Fish's cover of Take On Me, which is...
Oh. Should we be playing that?
if you think of, the most iconic covers of all time, they're usually, a reimagining, a total different version.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. That makes me think of Biff Naked's Lucky. Do you remember Lucky? Biff Naked?
Was that a Britney Spears cover?
No, but I want to hear that.
Oh, man, yeah.
No, was it Lucky? Lucky Ones. Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah, okay, yeah.
Who was the original of that? Because that wasn't her. She didn't write that song, I don't think.
Internet machine, let's go.
Come on, internet. My best friend.
Speaking of just while we're talking covers, did you guys ever listen to the Stereo Gum? Save Stereo Gum compilation that they did in the pandemic.
No.
They just had a bunch of really cool artists cover songs from the aughts.
Oh.
And Illuminati Hotties did Lucky. And it's I don't know, it ruled.
What? Anyway, this is a little anecdote. I'm going to check that out later.
But yeah, no, it's... while we're looking that up to confirm the Biff Naked cover, you've got stuff coming up.
Oh, I do.
You do.
I do. What is time? We live here now. What's going? So I have a show in Vancouver on March 18th at what's it called? St. George.
Fabrique St. George. Got it.
So that's going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And people should come and say hello. I'm planning a bunch of tours that are going to be in the fall for this record. Because I'm not going to do the thing that I do, where I release something and
don't say anything about it. Do you know where yet? Generally,
The UK and Europe.
Nice.
And then North America. And I'm trying to get a little slot in Australia. Wouldn't that be great?
Dream.
Right? It's a vacation.
Yeah.
You're not even working. It's hot.
You barely have to put shoes on.
Right.
Shorts all the time.
Whatever. I was gonna ask, do you have a preferred place to tour? But I mean, Australia.
So I'm really hoping for that. Yeah, I've got that going on, and then do I have other things going on? What happens in life? What happens?
I don't know. I think it's showtime.
Yes.
Is that something that you have to switch gears for? When you finish the album, you finish the videos, and then you're like, oh, now I gotta rehearse this thing.
Oh my god. Actually, here's what I've learned. Done it the wrong way.
Okay, here we go.
What you do is you plan the tour months in advance.
Ooh.
Before you release the record. Because then you can play the tour right after the record, which is what people like to do.
And not have to wait
till the fall.
Summer.
Mm. Yeah, so that's for the next one.
Yeah, it'll still be fresh.
Yeah, exactly, it'll be fresh.
It'll be so fresh. That last song will get some play.
Exactly, and you know what? You can just come back right before you start and promo it all again.
Yeah.
It'll be like it just came out.
Thanks, guys.
We got you.
I feel so much better.
My very brief research leads me to believe that Lucky is, in fact, a Biff Naked original.
Did you write it?
Biff Naked and Brad McGivern.
No.
Yeah. I don't know who this Brad is, but he doesn't have a link. His name isn't linked in Wikipedia, so I don't think he's...
Biff. I love Biff Naked. Mm-hmm. She follows me on Instagram.
That rules.
And when I saw that, I cried. I did.
Local hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was also in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I was going to say...
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's the house party in season 4 or whatever.
Slow dance and you're... Yeah.
The song, Lucky, is in fact on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer soundtrack.
Of course it is. Of course.
Great, all-time good soundtrack.
Oh, my God. Chiba Matto?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Yeah.
A+.
Spoon?
is the whole thing was beauty.
I have driven to Seattle with Jamie, where I'm pretty sure the only CD in the car was the Buffy soundtrack.
Really?
It got repeated multiple times.
Yes.
Fortunately, it's very good.
Fortunately, it's great.
I love that show.
I will say, just before we go off the topic, because I know we're up against it, my favorite musical moment in that show was the Michelle Branch, when she sings the goodbye to you, And it's, oh. it ends with, like, Buffy and Spike making out.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, why was Spike, why was their relationship so hot?
Right?
And it shouldn't have been. There were so many problematic moments.
Oh, yeah. Where, looking back on it, like, not good. But
like, yeah, that's the power couple.
Oh, yeah.
So, Buffy concept record when?
Oh, my God. You're right. You're how have I not thought of this yet?
We got work to do.
Totally. Oh, that'd be great.
I think we have time for one more song before the top of the hour. Yeah, I know. Do we want to go with the title track
that
off the record?
Sense.
Yeah, let's do that. We played the last song. We played the upbeat dance song about death. And now we'll play the title track from The Crowned by Che Ami Dorval. This is, well, yes, The Crowned. The Crowned by Che Ami Dorval, as we talk about the end of things off mic, because it's the end of the show, that's all I mean. Che, thank you so much for joining us this hour. It's been a blast.
Thank you. You guys are great. It was so fun.
back whenever, especially when you've got the tour coming up.
Oh, my God, I will.
The Crown is out now. You can find it everywhere you find music. Where else can people find you out there in the world?
On all the things, on Instagram and Facebook and all the things under Che Amidor.